You're listening to the Winter Interview Series on the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast, brought to you by Exmark Manufacturing. 30 years of pioneering spirit and innovation have resulted in legendary durability, all-day comfort, and unmatched cut quality. Go check them out at exmark.com. You're listening to the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast, the weekly show sharing proven methods and systems in marketing, equipment, and customer service, educational and motivational, to help make your lawn care business an overwhelming success. Now, here's your host, Julio Tomei.
Welcome, Lawn Care Nation, to another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. I'm your host, Julio Tomei, and this is episode number 394, entitled Interview with Jonathan Delgado from John's Lawns. Well, hello, everybody, and thanks again for joining me this week on another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. Really appreciate you guys tuning in each and every week, and of course, for those questions, the comments, and the feedback that you guys have been sending through. I really do appreciate that. On that note, if you guys are interested in doing one of these interview style episodes and sharing your lawn care business journey with Lawn Care Nation, you can hit me up. Just head on over to my website, lawncarebusinesssuccess.com. Go to the contact page and you can send me an email through there. Alternatively, you can also, if you follow me on Instagram at Lawn Care Business Success, you can send me a DM message and we'll hook up a time when it works for both of us to do an interview episode. Also, if you check the show notes in your podcast player, there'll be a link to leave a voicemail message, and you can do that as well. So without further ado, let's bring on this week's guest, Jonathan Delgado. Hey, Jonathan, how's it going?
I'm doing good, Julio.
Awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time out to come on to the podcast.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So let's dive right into it. So tell us a bit about yourself and your business.
A little about me. Yeah. I'm from deep South Texas, Port Isabel, South Padre Island area. I was lucky to grow up around a real good group of family and friends and a real tight-knit community that kind of looked out for each other. Mm-hmm. You know, I was always supported us in group organizations, you know, Little League and all that. So had a real good upbringing. Ended up going to school at Texas A&M University in college, where I studied agriculture. But I didn't really have any plans of pursuing lawn care or landscaping with that. I just didn't know what I really wanted to do, and it sounded kind of outdoorsy. Mm-hmm. I never really wanted to work an office job or anything like that, so I decided to go into agriculture. After I graduated college, I took over as manager at the small amusement park I'd worked at, you know, as my summer job, holiday job. Cool. Since I was in high school, probably. So I took over manager. The old manager had been there like 20 years, and like the same week I moved back down to my hometown, he put in a 2-week notice. So like out of nowhere, there was that job opening, and it just kind of worked out. So I stayed there for about another 5 years as manager. And then sometime in 2020, I kind of started feeling unfulfilled there at the job. You know, my bills and stuff were taken care of, but I just didn't have any time to myself. I didn't, for my family, just, you know, just working like a slave basically. So, around that same time, my grandma, she lives here in town, and she was having a falling out with her lawn guy. I don't know exactly what was going on, but she needed someone to kind of take over, and, she had her yard and then an empty lot she owned. So I kind of just started doing those as more of a hobby than anything. Mm-hmm. But kind of by word of mouth, you know, people would kind of see me mowing and asked me what I was doing and say, hey, can you come check out my yard? So just kind of started getting one yard at a time. And in a few months, I saw the potential kind of that I was getting. And I was kind of just so unhappy at my other job. I kind of on a whim, I just decided to take a risk on myself and leave the park. And that's when I opened up my lawn care company, John's Lawns, in the fall of 2020. So it's a solo lawn care job here in Laguna Madre, which is about a 10-mile radius of towns between Port Isabel and South Padre Island. Been in business about 2.5 years, and we're just kind of going strong. We have a long way to go, but really proud of the growth that we've made since we started. We offer small residential and business lawn care services, as well as, you know, tree trimming, things like that. So that's pretty much it as far as me and the job.
Very cool. Very cool. That's interesting to hear that you started the business, or just happened that you started business during the pandemic as well. I've heard a couple of people who have started lawn care businesses during that time. Did you find any difficulties because of that?
Not really. It was kind of it worked out really perfect for some reason. Like, I hear a lot of, you know, landscapers and lawn care people say, in the time of the pandemic, that was like the time it took off. Mm-hmm. I remember going to Home Depot and Lowe's even before I started, and you'd see, I mean, they were selling out of everything. Their garden section was sold out, their lumber, their, just seemed like everybody started getting into home repair and kind of keeping up with their property. So
yeah.
I didn't see a difficulty as far as, finding clients right off the bat in that regard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of an interesting phenomenon that's how it sort of worked out for everybody, that it ended up being a booming time for landscaping and lawn care and all that. When you would think, you know, with a lot of people being, you know, losing jobs or being furloughed or being stuck at home, that they would, mow lawns themselves or do things like that. But I think it was a lot of people just being around their houses and actually seeing for the first time sort of the disrepair, or being stuck at home for a lot of time, that they wanted to be in nicer properties or nicer landscaping conditions and stuff like that, and it just took off for business. So that's cool to hear another person that started a business and found the same thing, that it was a booming sort of time. So I'm assuming now, 2 years in, is the lawn care business, is this your main income now?
Yeah, it is. I've been lucky enough to, just grow the business from the ground up, kind of just invest in better equipment as I am able to, and just really create good working relationships with my clients. You know, I've been lucky to find a few really good clients who kind of helped me start, one client who was my first client ever doing weekly yards. She had me do my first sod installation and redo her whole backyard. There was a freeze that winter, so she had me pull out all her dead stuff, plant new, trees and plants, palm trees, and put new mulch in. So, I kind of just got lucky and got a few really big jobs that first year. That kind of kept me afloat, kept me in business, and helped me kind of keep scaling just slowly. Mm-hmm. And I haven't had to go and apply for another job since I left the old one, so as far as I know, it's my full-time job, but I just take it a day at a time, and it's been working out so far.
Awesome. So are you operating currently as a like a one-man solo operation, or do you have like a help or anything?
Yeah, for probably about 95% of my jobs, it's solo. When I do get larger tree removals or, rock bed projects, things like that, I'll have a friend or two that I can call on, just as solo, freelance workers that I can kind of bring along for a project or two. But I've tried to bring on employees and kind of help with the weed eating side of it, or mm-hmm. even, hop on the riding mower while I do the, the touch up things. And
yep.
To this point, I just really haven't found the, a solid worker, or maybe it's, a little on my end too. I just haven't found that way to, have a worker along for the long term, where it's beneficial to both of us. So I kind of just found that working alone, is kind of working out right now. Yeah, that's the way I like to keep it kind of. I don't know if that's the reason you kind of stay solo. It's just, knowing the job's getting done right and not having to worry about sending someone out and having the client call and say, hey, what the heck does my yard, look like this for? Mm-hmm. Just kind of putting my name on the yard as John's lawn. I like to come off and represent my work, how I like to. So it's kind of just worked out. So
yeah. Yeah. For me, yeah, it's a bit of that as well. And I would say, if I was being honest with myself, I'm a super control freak, I would think, in terms of just want to have, every aspect, knowing that it's done the way I like it. Because like I say, right, it's your business, it's your reputation and stuff like that. It's difficult finding employees. I think part of it too is training employees takes a lot of patience as well. I don't have a lot of patience. I've had two incidents in this last week where I've had to go to the bank and it's been busy and I've had to wait in line. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Like I just start getting like so much anxiety watching the tellers, and they seemingly are working like, from my perspective, so slow, and it just drives me nuts. I'm like, ah, that's like why I'm like, I gotta be on my own. I gotta be, you know, always in control and working at my own pace and that sort of stuff. So yeah, it's interesting that you're sort of experiencing little bits of that, but yeah, everybody's different. A lot of people like employees, and definitely has some obviously positive aspects. If you can hire the right employees, they can really you know, help take your business to the next level if that's something that you want. Yeah, so that's cool. Any is that something that you think for future potential that you would are striving for?
The only way I see it working out that way is if I really ran into, you know, someone offering a contract that was big enough where I needed a crew or two to take care of, you know, certain jobs. But for the most part, you know, really, I love doing it myself. I love making my own schedule, getting up and, you know, deciding this is how I'm going to do my day and not having anything kind of interfere with that, or, you know, my equipment going down because, you know, just ignorance of how to use things, or, you know, just being initiative. So, you know, if I can keep my body up and keep, you know, my workload up on my end and take care of it myself, I'd really like to. That'd be like, you know, the ideal future for me would be to just continue solo. But, you know, I don't know where the future takes me. I'm not stubborn. At least I don't think I am. So, you know, if the opportunity came up, you know, it'd be something to look into. But for now, I'm not complaining. I'm not starving or anything like that. So I'm kind of just taking it a day at a time, like I said, and enjoying it.
Yeah, definitely. If it's something that works out, it's great. There is obviously downsides as well. You know, with me, I'm getting older. So I know, especially when it comes to things like aerations and things like that, and my lawns are pretty small, and some of them have, you know, slopes and hills and things, or like a, you know, maybe a step to get into like the backyard or something. So there's no like ride-on aerators here. They just wouldn't work for the lawns that I do. So it's all like the manual Bluebird type aerators and stuff like that. And I noticed, like, yeah, I can't do the amount that I used to be able to do. My brain says I can, but my body's like, no. Like, you know, you're at like half now of what you could do when you started 17 years ago, sort of thing. And then there's other issues, like, as you know, when you get older, I've got gout. I suffer from gout, so occasionally I'll get like a really bad gout attack, and it's, I'll get up in the morning and I can't even walk. It feels like I've got like a broken foot or something, and I will literally grab crutches to be able to just maneuver around the house. And I'm looking at the clock going, okay, like in 2 hours, I got to start mowing lawns. Right? What am I going to do? Right. So it's just one of those things where it's just like, well, there's no one else. I got no employees to rely on. So it's, you know, pop the pain meds and get out there and start, you know, it still hurts. It's still, but it gets to a point where it's like, okay, by that 2 hours, by the time it's time for me to get out there, it's a little, you know, it's still painful, but it's loose enough that I can kind of walk on the side of my foot, and I'll go out there and knock them out, and then come back, more painkillers, get out there, do it again for the second half of the day, and, you know, get through it. So there are some downsides if you're, you know, relying, that you always got to be cognizant of, thinking of in the back of your head. So yeah, just a heads up, just in case you sound like a young guy. So I just...
It's really good advice.
Yeah, just something to reflect on. This next question is probably one of my favorites to ask, and it's because every time I ask somebody who is self-employed or business owner, they will always give me a different answer. But if I ask somebody who is a you know, just a 9-to-5 worker, shift work, that sort of stuff, the answer is typically about the same. So it'll be interesting hearing your perspective, being in the business, only 2 years, and you know, having sort of a fresh memory of what it was like being an employee before. So that question for you, Jonathan, is how would you define success?
You know, probably just being able to wake up every day, love what you do, you know, getting to a spot where you're not just able to provide for your family financially, but, you know, when you can kind of look back on your day or your week and be like, hey, I got to spend some quality time with my wife and kid, or, you know, I was able to finish up working time on Friday to go catch the high school football game. You know, just being able to be present for those finer moments in life that sometimes we start taking for granted as time passes by.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being able to step back and just take some time for yourself also, you know, rest when your body needs it, when it's telling you to. You know, I guess just being able to create memories with friends and family and take care of your responsibilities at the same time, you know, kind of without the pressure of a boss or confined to a strict schedule or anything like that. That's probably how I'd define success.
Awesome. Yeah, it sounds awesome. That's a lot of parallels how I would probably answer that question. It's what's driven me to run my business and be a solo operator for all the years that I have. So yeah, very, very cool. You mentioned taking, I think it was a horticulture class. Have you found any sort of situations now? Like you said, you weren't really thinking about lawn care and stuff in the beginning, but it's always interesting how life kind of goes full circle and kind of takes you back to those types of earlier experiences. Has the horticulture, have you found it has helped you with the lawn care business?
Yeah, it has. So I was in agriculture. The name of it was Agriculture Leadership and Development. And it was kind of a real broad agriculture field, right? It was like business management classes, but I also had to take, you know, horticulture classes, and I took this real specific turf science class. And now looking back, I really wish that I would have taken that class more serious because A&M's a real big agriculture school. So they actually have plots of different grasses, like in their classrooms on poster boards. This is Bermuda grass, and this is St. Augustine grass. This is Zoysia. Kentucky bluegrass, and you can see the differences, and there's, you know, the whole class was on the differences of turf science, and I passed the class. I paid attention to it, you know, for the time when it was going on. But if I would have known I was going to go into lawn care, man, I would have been in the front row, extra credit kind of guy, you know, kind of, you know, smooching up to the professor and stuff. Yeah. But yeah, looking back, that there was a lot of resources there for me to go into this profession. I kind of wish that I would have known earlier that it's what I wanted to do, because I was right there in the middle, you know, the heart of Texas for where you want to learn about that type of stuff.
Yeah, very, very cool. Yeah, it's like I said, it's interesting how sometimes the universe sets you up for stuff, and you may be blind to it, to the plan that's coming in the future, and you don't even notice the signs that are happening. But a lot of times, things will happen full circle. I talk about how you know, out of high school and stuff like that, like most teenagers growing up, music is like a big part of their lives and stuff like that, and that was how it was for me. And I ended up going into after high school, going into a course for being an audio engineer. I was learning how to play guitar and stuff like that, and thought, you know, I don't know if how much of a musician I am, but it'd be kind of neat to be on the other side of that and record bands and stuff like that, and you know, actually help create the albums in that way. So I took that class and ended up going towards through that class, going towards like video production as well, and I ended up actually working in a studio doing post-production sound for movies, because here in Vancouver, British Columbia, it's like they call it Hollywood North. There's always film crews out and about. Every time I go out in the car or the truck in the neighborhoods and stuff, there's always something being filmed, some movie, some show or something in some neighborhoods. So it's huge here. So I thought, oh, let me try that. But I found it wasn't for me. It was just so boring doing sound effects and recordings and stuff for movies and things like that. So ultimately, I stepped away from it. But it's interesting how years later, I've been now doing a podcast and doing content and all this stuff and using a lot of those skills that I learned back then in those courses and that experience and stuff. So it's always interesting seeing other people that have sort of those similar experiences where they take something that isn't quite what they're, you know, they don't understand exactly where it's going to lead, but in the end, it is always something that helps out further down the line. Yeah, kind of neat to see that with you as well. You always wish, like you said, that you would pay more attention with that stuff when you finally figure it out. So what, in your lawn care business, are you focused on doing residential properties, or do you do commercial properties as well?
So the area that I live in, there's kind of a different, there's a lot of different like regions to it. We have the island, which is kind of more the small cookie cutter yards and condo properties. And then Port Isabel is more the old neighborhood. You know, you have your chain link fence homes and, you know, kind of more the Hispanic area, and smaller yards also, but kind of not as nice, you know, more crabgrass and Johnson grass throughout. And
okay.
More just blow and go type of yard.
Yeah, yeah.
Then we got Laguna Vista, which is where I live, kind of more subdivision, bigger yards, but not, you know, quite ranch style, you know, maybe quarter acre yards to half acre.
Okay.
And then we have Bayview, which is, that's kind of the ranch land area where I do a couple, you know, big acre yards or big estates that have different parts of the property. So I've kind of found here, it kind of helps having a little bit of different types of everything, because it is a smaller area. So there's a lot of lawn care providers out here. It's a year round thing, South Texas. So, I mean, even right now I'm in my truck, on my lunch break between doing my yards. It rained this morning, but you know, the grass is still, it's growing. We haven't gotten a huge freeze yet. So I've kind of found doing just a little bit of all types of yards for right now. Over the last year in town, I've picked up about three or four commercial properties along the highway, smaller commercial properties, but they are, you know, either bi-weeklies or every week, a couple of them. So that's kind of helped out. Just having a kind of a wide range of different types of properties. I feel like sometimes that's a burden to be doing so much stuff, but I kind of have the equipment set up and things like that at this point for my truck where I don't really miss a beat. I kind of don't really lose time on the different types of jobs I go out to.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is if, you know, is that root density, right? If they're nearby each other, then it doesn't really make a difference if one's larger or smaller or whatever. It's that drive time that more counts with that. If you can group properties together, is sort of the biggest thing. In my area, it's very similar. I do a lot of tiny lawns, but I'm not in the main city. I'm in one of the suburbs, and it was more of like a farming type area originally. A lot of density now, a lot of large properties being turned over into small little houses and stuff like that. But there's still those like hobby farms around. There's still like I can drive 5 minutes in either direction, and there's farms and cows and all that sort of stuff around, right?
Yeah,
not hard to find, right? In my own neighborhood, there's still, like I said, hobby farms and stuff with horses and things, and they'll occasionally be walking through the neighborhood on like horseback on like, through the streets where I live and stuff like that. So it's a really neat mix of houses and stuff and property sizes as well. And like I said, as long as you have the equipment set up for it, it's not a big deal to go from one size property to the other. What would you say, in terms of, the type of work that you prefer, when it comes to that, in terms of like residential, or commercial?
Definitely the commercial yards are nice. It's probably definitely a little more bang for your buck, you know, going and knocking out a good yard. Once you get the hang of them, you know, it's pretty routine. You can chop the time down almost in half from the first service that you start once you get your walking routine down. But overall, I really like maintaining those personal relationships with my clients, you know, my residential clients. So I'd say probably those small yards, my older clients, you know, people who have kind of town history and, you know, bits of advice to offer and can make me laugh. You know, those are kind of the clients that keep me, you know, passionate about this week after week, you know, setting my schedule and being like, oh, hey, I got that, you know, person to go out to on Wednesday, or, hey, she's going to have something to say, you know, she'll have something to talk about when I get out there. So, you know, it's cool kind of keeping those relationships with my residentials. I couldn't imagine just having, you know, commercial relationships where I email them their invoice and, you know, they send me a online payment and I never, you know, even know who I'm dealing with. I definitely appreciate those clients and I love those clients just as much, but, you know, for me, I just love those small residential
areas. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's something to be said about that, that, you know, personal relationship that you have with clients. Mine are, you know, pretty much the same. I do have one in when you were saying that about those ones that just kind of pay you online and stuff like that. I do have one that's kind of like that where I think I've been servicing his property for, oh, it's got to be a good 10 years now at least. And I think I've spoken to him in person maybe two times in that 10 years. It's always online. It's always over email. He's never missed a payment. I have his credit card on file. So the only time I really ever have to communicate with him is when the credit card number is coming up for expiry. And I'll email him and say, your credit card's up for expiry. He sends me the new number and away we go. And that's about it. And I get this feeling from him. He just doesn't like to, because when I go to his house, he's got like, you know, the front door has like the signs, like no soliciting, no sales, like all this sort of stuff, right? So I'm like, okay, this guy just doesn't like dealing with people. He doesn't want a thing. So I just turn it into a, okay, so part of my service that I'm offering this guy is leaving him alone. That's part of the value I'm offering him is that I can do the job. I can, you know, bill his credit card. I don't need to bug him for checks or cash or things like that. He doesn't have to see me. He doesn't have to talk to me only, you know, through email every few years when his expiry date comes up for expiry on his credit card. And that's part of the value that I'm offering this guy. And, you know, it works out well. It's been, like I said, about 10 years of servicing this property and with no issues, right? I just show up every spring, mow the lawn, charge his credit card, and that's about it. But some customers, like you say, it's that weekly talk and stuff, and you enjoy those ones. I have ones that come out every time I'm there. And, you know, are always complimenting on me on the job and just seeing how things are going, ask me about my kids, stuff like that. So it's interesting that dynamic that can happen between your clients. Do you offer any services that are not lawn care or landscaping related, like maybe power washing or window cleaning or gutter cleaning or things like that, for example?
When I get calls, I will get random calls for odd jobs, handyman jobs and things like that. I guess people just see my number and figure to call. I used to, when I first started, I would take on like paint jobs or window cleaning jobs, things like that. Oh, actually, one of my regular clients just had me do, this older lady had me do, just wash down her windows like with her water hose the other day. I didn't really accomplish much. I think she just wanted me to go over and keep her some company for a while, but I will take on odd jobs, but these days not so much, just because I'm a little more busy with on the lawn care part of it, and kind of have my clients that I take care of. So recently I haven't taken on any more jobs, but we haven't gotten our big freeze yet for the winter we usually do down here, and it's still in the, you know, 60s, 70s. So I know February and March are probably going to slow down a bit as far as the grass growing. So right now I am kind of brainstorming on what to do on the side. I actually was a substitute teacher here with the local school district last spring during the slow season, and I absolutely fell in love with that.
Oh, nice.
That was a really cool time to spend my day. So I've been thinking about going down and applying for that again, maybe. Mm-hmm. I'm going to see how the weather plays out, because I don't want to commit to them if I don't have the time for it. So I guess that's just kind of part of the deal with lawn care, right? You got to depend on the weather. Don't really know.
Yeah.
Exactly what to plan for.
Yeah, that's interesting. Pardon my ignorance on Port Isabel and Texas, but when I put the words Texas and big freeze together, in my brain, it's like those two words don't go together. Like Texas in my brain is always hot and dry and that sort of stuff.
We're coastal. We're, if you look at a map, we're like right on the bottom little like triangle tip of Texas, near kind of bordering Mexico, but we're on the coast, so it's really hot, humid, sticky. There's always, you know, systems coming off from the coast or coming down from the northerns. You know, so we're kind of in a pocket where we get a little bit of all weather. Right now, the wind's probably blowing close to 30 miles an hour, and it was raining this morning. I mean, I woke up at 6 a.m. and it was completely storming outside, and now it's, you know, sunny and windy, so it's like everywhere, I guess. You know, you just never know what to expect from the weather, but
Yeah, we
do typically get, like, two years ago, that's what kind of helped out with the business, was we got a huge, like, I mean, I say freeze, I'm not talking about negative temperatures, but it gets so windy and cold down here, and a lot of the plants we have our, you know, cold resistant type of plants. They're really tropical, you know, palm trees and mesquite trees, things like that. So a lot of stuff, that kind of helps a lot of lawn care businesses, because that year there was so much dead tree removal, plant removal, you know, like leaf cleanups after the freeze. So that was really like a big boom for the business was that. So when I say freeze, I don't mean like, you know, an avalanche or anything, but it definitely messes things up down here because of how used we are to that hotter temperature.
Okay, very, very interesting. Like I said, yeah, I wouldn't expect a freeze happening in Texas. So I learned something new. That's very, very cool. So this next question is probably the one that gives guests the most trouble in terms of, you know, they got to take a second to think about it. So I'm going to ask you the question, but then I'm going to take a break for the sponsored ad and give you a moment to think about it before you have to answer. So the question is, share a time that you struggled in your business and what you learned or did to overcome it. So take a moment to think about that, and we'll get back with your answer right after this. So stay tuned.
In lawn care today, with the right equipment, you can do jobs quickly and correctly. Hi, Jonathan Guineri here. As a product manager at Z-Turf Equipment, I'm focused on innovations that help you get jobs done faster without sacrificing the quality your customers expect. From our acclaimed Z-Spray spreader sprayers to our Z-Aerate line and beyond, you can do more in less time. Visit ZTurfEquipment.com today to learn more about our innovative line of products.
Okay, Jonathan, so share a time that you struggled in your business and what you learned or did to overcome it.
That's a good one. So a time that I really struggled in the business was my first summer. Full-time, I started picking up business and to the point where I needed kind of a side helper. So I hired one and he helped out for a couple weeks and business, you know, kept turning up and turning up through July. And then he kind of just fell off the face of the earth on me. I never heard from him again after a couple weeks. And so I still had all this business and I was completely swamped and on my own. Which wasn't a bad thing. I was, you know, excited for it, but I started pushing myself so hard and it was so hot that summer. The mosquitoes were crazy because of how much rain we had gotten. It was just really, it was difficult to work. And, the old job I had, it was a nighttime job. The park was open in the evenings from like, you know, sundown to about 2 a.m. So going into the lawn care business, I kind of was still getting in a sleep routine of waking up early and, and getting my day started. And at that time, you know, I didn't realize how bad the heat was in the summer. So I'd go get my day started at 10:30 a.m., 11 a.m. and, you know, take a lunch and then go back out right at 3 p.m., you know, 3:30. And so I got this big, garden bed renewal project. They wanted the old stuff ripped out and then me to put new mulch, you know, tarp and things like that, rocks and all that. So I was doing that midday, working hard, blasting music. And, next thing I know, I'm on the floor, passed out. I had a heat stroke in the middle of the day. Luckily, the owners of the house were there. And by the time I woke up, they had ice on my back. And, you know, the EMS were there. And it was funny because the first thing I hear them say was, okay, you guys already soaked him down with water. And the guy's like, no, we didn't soak him down with anything. And they're like, well, why is he so wet? And they're like, I guess that's just his sweat. I was wearing all polyester clothing at the time, like, you know, those polyester Columbia pants with the zippers on knees, and then a polyester long sleeve shirt, you know, just to help with my sweat retention and staying cool. But what they told me was that was probably the worst thing I could have been doing instead of wearing cotton, because my body wasn't breathing at that point. It was just, you know, completely restricted from getting any airflow. They were like, well, have you been drinking, you know, your fluids and stuff? And I said, yeah, a bunch of water. I drink 2 gallons of water a day. And they said, well, you know, you can't just be drinking water. You got to put some Gatorade, some sugars, you know, some even soda in there, you know, something. You can't just run off of water. You need those electrolytes and things like that. So, you know, I got out of the hospital. I had to stay there overnight. I got back out of the hospital. My parents told me to slow it down. My grandmas were worried. And, you know, I still had all that business to keep up with. So on the side, I'm going out in the morning and keeping up with all this business. And fast forward 1 month later, I'm back in the hospital again. I was actually doing work outside of my grandma's house and I got really close to having another heat exhaustion episode. I did have a heat exhaustion episode. I didn't go into a stroke this time, but I told them to take me to the hospital again in the EMS, and they didn't overnight me that time. They discharged me once my blood levels were good, but mm-hmm. I really had to take a good, you know, long, hard look at myself after that episode and, you know, say, hey, are you serious about doing this? Or, you know, are you just working yourself and going to kill yourself and, you know, like, just be dumb about it? And so, you know, my dad was, you know, mad at me at that point. You know, not like to where he told me anything, but I could just tell you, you know, disappointed, a 26, 27-year-old guy, and I'm here, you know, worrying my family of, you know, passing out mowing yards for a living.
Yeah, yeah.
So from that point on, you know, that fall hit, and I just really had to, you know, take a deep, hard look inside myself and, you know, to change it up. And I did. Luckily, I got into a routine where now, I'm up before the sunrise and I'll be in bed before, you know, 10:30, 11 p.m. I still only sleep about 6-7 hours. That's just me naturally. I don't like sleeping too much. But mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's been helpful getting up, getting my routine right, eating right. You know, I wouldn't eat breakfast, wake up late and, you know, rush to my job with a bottle of water. And, you know, so just learning to take care of myself, you know, so similar to how you need to take care of your equipment. You know, you need yep. to oil up your mowers and, you know, change the blades out, sharpen your blades and, you know, change out your battery fuses, things like that. You know, you always got to keep maintenance up. And it's the same thing with your body. You
yep.
got to feed it right. You got to treat it right. Give it rest, you know, put it in the garage for the night. You can't just sleep outside in the grass. You know, mm-hmm. you got to recharge your body and take care of yourself. So that I really feel like that helped kind of mold me though, because I'm night and day from before those episodes. You know, now I'd look back at myself now and be like, man, this kid's never going to make it, you know. As a, he has the heart to do it, but I really wasn't there, you know, mentally 360 running a business. I was just kind of mowing yards at that point. So
yeah.
That was a big time I struggled. And I do feel like, you know, I'm still working on it and I'm still getting better every day, but I do feel like I'm in a way better position, you know, a year and a half, 2 years later down the road than I was at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's a big, lesson to take in, especially during the summer heat, times where it's at its like max peak. Yeah, I can only imagine what you'd be going through. We've had a couple of, we get hot summers and stuff here as well, but not to the degree that you guys are having. Although last year we went through something they called a heat dome for a week where the temperature was like Las Vegas equivalent summer temperatures.
Oh, wow.
And it was, yeah, like... it was shocking to people here because you're not accustomed to that and having to work, and you had to make adjustments. You had to get up early you got up early to start those lawns sooner, and it was already like you're sweating as soon as you get outside, like early in the morning. It's like, whoa, like this is, it's like a wall of heat as soon as you open the door. And you know, the most we could do was like work until like noon, and after that it was unbearable to be out there. So it was like you have to make adjustments. You got to do what you got to do, right? The nice thing is that in the summer a lot of the lawns fall off because they're not watered, so the workload wasn't as much for us. So it was like, okay, we can, you know, we got half the workload anyways, we can just knock out to half a day each day during that crazy heat dome, and then and everybody gets taken care of anyways, because most of the lawns weren't requiring cuts. But yeah, definitely something crazy that you went through you know, had to learn from to be able to adjust it. Like you said, if you're going to take it seriously and do this, full time, it's something you're going to have to learn to adjust to if you're going to be doing it there. Thanks for sharing that story. That's crazy. What would you say now, 2 years in, would be your favorite thing about being self-employed?
Probably just get up and get the day started and done with. You know, it's getting out and getting your jobs done early in the day, and it being 10:30, 11 a.m. and you know, you've got the whole day ahead of you to go do whatever you want, go hang out in the AC or, you know, watch a show or just do what you want. You know, just get out and get it done. That's what I like to do. I wake up, you know, on Monday morning. I sometimes used to wait throughout the whole week, you know, and kind of space out my yards. But now I'm like, hey, if I can, you know, go out Monday, Tuesday and knock out all these yards, you know, just kind of wait around till Friday comes around and go knock out a couple more things or whatever, wait on calls. But, you know, I'm all for that now. So just getting out and getting it done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I routinely say how I prefer most days not to even take a lunch because I just like, you know, I'd rather just knock it out, get it all done, and get home sooner than to kind of stretch out the day. In what ways, 2 years on, would you say now you market your business and maybe share your number one marketing tip?
I'd say not to spend money when you don't have to. Okay. I remember when I first started, I wanted to, you know, do sponsored ads and things like that, which isn't bad, of course, but, you know, when you're barely a startup and you're not even bringing that much money in to go spending money on, you know, business cards and online ads and things like that to promote them, it's like, dude, I mean, you gotta, you know, look at the people around you and kind of get some business from those people. You know, online can only take so far. So just not, you know, spending a whole lot of money on advertising, but still advertising. I use Facebook a lot, actually.
Yeah.
Just because in my area, a lot of people, you know, are active on Facebook. So I've made a business page and, you know, I use a photo editor apps mostly on my phone and stuff and kind of make little fun videos with music in the background or, you know, kind of just a little change up from the standard, you know, call us for a lawn mowing, you know, and, or whatever. I kind of try to make it a little fun and funny, you know, kind of not take myself too serious in that sense. I kind of want the people to see me and be like, okay, you know, this guy's not trying to be something he's not, or, you know, trying to be too serious about what he does, or, you know, he hasn't been a lawn care guy his whole life. I'm you know, just a kid doing this job, and I want to create good lasting impressions with people, more than just the lawn care part of it. I just want to be a good, not, you know, businessman, but not in a, you know, money type of way. I just want to be a good, you know, outright altruistic kind of guy to people that I'm dealing with. So,
Yeah, very, very cool. So what would you say would be your future plans or goals for your business?
Definitely to keep growth going. At this point, I'm trying to kind of filter out my, you know, the earlier yards I'd get are probably yards that aren't as beneficial to me as the more recent ones I've been getting. So just kind of scaling the business, but not taking on so much to where, you know, I lose my sense of purpose and I lose what I got into this for. I don't need, you know, too much in life. I don't need to go, you know, scale the business to X amount of dollars for me to be happy or things like that. As long as I can keep kind of taking care of myself and my family and, you know, my house and things like that and enjoy those moments and not have to work myself to the bone. That's good for me, but I also want to keep growing. I don't want to ever want to get stagnant or, you know, just be content with where I'm at. I definitely want to, like I said, convert, you know, my clients that are kind of maybe more on call or, you know, every, you know, bi-weeklies and things like that, and kind of get more into, you know, bolstering my schedule with those full-time clients and, you know, where they need their tree trimmings done and they want fertilizers and aerations done on with deer. And, you know, I can go knock out 2 or 3 things, you know, while I do their yard and, you know, make a nice chunk instead of, you know, driving all over town for a few jobs. And, you know, so just kind of zeroing in on those good clients, those worthy clients, those quality clients that are going to treat me well and that I like to treat well. So, you know, I like working hard. I love work hard when it's worth it, you know, when you're getting taken care of the way that, you know, it kind of motivates you to go do that job. Kind of.
Yes, absolutely.
So just, you know, continuing to grow and just maintaining that small kind of family atmosphere to the business.
Okay, very cool. Just to step back, when you were talking about the marketing side and the Facebook and stuff and doing sort of like kind of like the fun little videos and stuff like that, is there anything that you learned from marketing on Facebook? Like, do you just put out those videos on your own page? Do you use any like neighborhood groups or things like that you go into? Have you found any sort of things on your own in terms of using Facebook as a tool that worked better than other, you know, things on Facebook that you may have tried, like posting your video in certain areas?
Yeah, that's kind of what I try to do is I'm joined to a lot of different pages, mostly local pages, you know, like it's a big tourism area here. Okay. So there's already a lot of online kind of groups of, you know, concierge and, you know, things to do in the area and things like that. Or there's business postings also, you know, there's jobs for hire pages here and daily hire services and, you know, different things like that. So I kind of probably got about a dozen to 15 pages that every time I'll go and post to my own page, you know, then I'll go and share it to my personal page. So, you know, my friends and family can see it and they'll share it also.
Okay.
And then, you know, I'll also go through my page and share it to, you know, the concierge and pages and the job listings and things like that. And when I first started, I was using Instagram, but I guess that's more of a, I guess sometimes in my area, at least, it's more of a, like a larger than local appeal. You know, like most of my friends, a lot of my friends don't even live here anymore. People I know, you know, they moved on to cities or, you know, out of state, you know, up the state and things like that. So it's really hard to advertise locally for me, at least through Instagram. I found that, you know, who I'm trying to market to is the people who live here in my community. So I found just the easiest way to reach them is by, you know, it showing up on their Facebook feeds as they're sitting at home. And, you know, maybe it's, they need a job. Like, that's the last invoice I got, or not invoice, I'm sorry, quote, that I went out and gave here in town was a lady needed two big dead mesquite trees that are in her front yard that just dropped branches all the time. She wanted them removed, and she asked me to do the quote. So I walked inside. I told her I'd send her the price later. And so she's like, okay, we can just text me. And she walked outside a couple minutes later and said, hey, I saw your ad on Facebook, you know, just to let you know in case, you know, it helps you out. Like, so that kind of, that was just recently where I was like, okay, cool. Well, that's, those Facebook ads that I'm using, they do reach out. And I think it was just the day before I had posted about, you know, dead tree removal or branch removal. So, you know, just in my area, I know it's probably different elsewhere. I really don't even hear about a lot of people primarily using Facebook as their advertising spot. But, you know, just I found in my area, that's kind of what keeps me going. That's kind of what keeps the calls coming in more than anything.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I think Facebook is probably... even though it's Facebook and Instagram are both owned by Facebook or Meta, whatever it's called now. I think Facebook is probably for that particular part of it. You know, Instagram has the hashtags and things like that, but Facebook, because of all that, being able to, you know, have those community groups and all that sort of stuff, you can, target that sort of thing. Like, you can obviously target with Instagram as well if you're going to run paid ads and stuff like that, because obviously they're going to use the same types of tools. But if you're trying to do it on you know, the starting out with a limited budget and stuff, and you don't necessarily want to do paid ads, then the Facebook, I think, is the better choice, because you can still go and join those groups and that, and be able to, you know, just be there with the, in those community groups, active in those, even if you're not running ads and stuff. You can, there's always people asking if anybody knows something or they need help with something, and you can always, you know, share your two cents in those things and start to build that sort of presence in that community with that. And, you know, a lot of groups do allow for people. Each group is different depending on the moderator, but you can, you know, allow you to run an ad or a special or whatever, as long as you're not spamming the group and stuff. But yeah, it's that's a great way to do it. Is there a, after 2 years of doing this, is there a weirdest thing that you have seen or has happened to you during the business? This is just like a fun maybe story that you can share or anything like that.
I have one funny one actually, which I learned, ended up being a lesson. I was doing a yard out in that ranchland area, Bayview out there. It's a big old property that I do. And they have a pool. So I was using my Husqvarna backpack blower, my BT-150, and I had that on, and they had very small St. Augustine clippings just around the edge of the pool, and so I really wasn't, you know, thinking. I had my music going on my headphones. I probably listened to your podcast, actually, and I'm blowing along, and not thinking about it, and I forget I have the backpack on, so I get to the edge of the pool, and I kind of, you know, turn to change direction, and I guess between the air blowing from the blower and the weight of the backpack, well, there I go flying into the pool.
Oh, no.
with the blower on me. Yeah, so I was like, oh, and they had just shocked the pool with a bunch of chemicals and stuff. And I tried to throw the blower out as far as I could, but it was wrapped around my back, you know, like a backpack.
Yeah, yeah.
Tough to. And so I gave it about a week later, my leaf blower ends up going shot. It just, it, I can feel it, you know, heating up, and then it just burns out one day, and I was using it, and I was like, oh, crap. So I never say, no, it's shot. I called somebody at a parts place, and they were like, no, you're better off just buying a new one, get a new one. And so I was like, no, this is an expensive blower, and it was just for wheels, water damage, you know, see what happens. So I ended up taking it apart, and the piston was completely scored. I guess the bleach and all that dried out insides, and my piston was completely shot. So for about $100, I ended up finding a replacement part online. I had never, you know, done a job like this before, but I was like, I'm gonna give it a shot. So I ordered a new cylinder block, new piston. It came as the kit together with the piston rings and all that. Spent a day taking my blower apart completely. I found a YouTube video that did the whole process, luckily, part by part, and then I changed out the piston and the cylinder block myself, put it back together, and it's starting right back up.
Oh, so, wow.
You know, yeah, so that little incident where I was like, oh man, you know, I was an idiot and messed up my blower, and you know, it ruined, you know, there's X amount of dollars for a new one, you know, it's not a cheap blower that I had.
Yeah, yeah.
I was kind of mad, but it ended up being a good learning experience. I learned how to, you know, do my own maintenance on the blower, and now I'm a little bit excited for the next time I have a two-stroke that goes out, you know, either a blower or weed eater. I'm kind of excited to break it apart and now see if I can, like, find, you know, diagnose and just be like a self-proclaimed leaf blower mechanic.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
You know,
I love YouTube. Like
it kind of ended up being cool.
I love YouTube for that. And it's,
yeah, exactly.
It's, like, I barely ever use YouTube for like entertainment purposes, like watching videos just for the fun of it or whatever. It's always either researching something, like reviews of something that I'm looking to buy, or looking to fix, you know, or how to fix, right? Like, it's amazing how you can literally find something to fix, like the exact model and everything that you're looking for. Like,
exactly.
Chances are that somebody's done a video on it, on you know, the exact procedure and stuff. The other is actually yesterday, the night before, my daughter had taken my car and drove out to visit her boyfriend, and he lives a couple of cities or suburbs away. So it was about a 32-kilometer drive over the highway and over two major bridges for her to get there. And then she calls me when it was time to come home, and she says, I need help. The car won't start. And I was like, okay, well, did you guys like leave the lights on or something? She's like, I don't think so. Like, it just wouldn't start. We drove to get food and it was working fine, parked it in the underground parking lot, and now it won't start. So I said, okay, well, you know, there's jumper cables in the back. You can try to jump it and then just let me know what happened. So she said she tried jumping it. It started, but then as soon as she took the cables off, the car died. So I was like, oh, that's weird. Like, and so I was thinking, oh, maybe the alternator is going or something like that. So I was like, okay, we'll come out and look at it. So I went out, drove all the way out there to come look at it. I tried jump starting it myself. Same issue. I got about a block away, and then the car died again. So I was like, oh, and it's like 11:30 at night. It's all dark. There's nowhere to park in this place. So I had to get it jump started again and take it back to this underground parking lot of the building that her boyfriend lives in. And we get it in there, and then I'm messing with it, and then notice that the car is staying running this time, the second time that I go to jumpstart it. And so I'm like, things don't add up. Like, if this was the alternator, it wouldn't be running now, sort of thing. And then so I was checking the battery cables, and one of the positive was loose, but it was also tight as it could go. So I was like, that's weird. Like, it's as tight as it'll go, but it's still loose. So I ended up having to get some looking through the car. I had no tools with me, and found some string trimmer line that I happened to have in the car, and I used that to tie the positive terminal to the side of the inner fender to hold it tight so it wouldn't move while you're driving, and was able to drive all the way home with that. And then got home and started searching YouTube, and there, you know, found a fix for that exact car, that exact model, for that exact problem on what the issue was. So it's just, yeah, crazy that you can always find something on YouTube to help you out, whether you've done it or not, or never done it, or never touched it. It makes you feel like, you know, the mechanic or whatever. Some of the craziest things I've tackled, like changing a timing belt on a car that I've never, ever done before. And it's just like, cross your fingers, you turn the key, and the car starts, and it's like, holy smokes. That's amazing. Like, it just took me 6 hours to do that. Like, I had half the engine apart and put it back together, and it started.
Yeah. It's like being a man, right? You get like that just primal feeling of you're just. I mean,
you feel unstoppable.
YouTube aided, but still, yeah, exactly. You're like, oh, I can do anything now.
Yeah, that's awesome. What is one hidden pitfall with running a lawn care business, besides maybe falling into pools, that you see that prevents people from succeeding? So this is something that you maybe see other guys that are starting up or other business that you see, and you instinctively know that what they're doing is, yeah, like that's not good for them. Like that's not going to help them out.
One thing I see, and maybe I'm not judging any other businesses. I don't know any other people's business models, but something I noticed that I feel like happens when I see people is maybe them. I see people getting burnt out.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, I'll see them with the, you know, have the big truck and, you know, different trailers and, you know, pulling a bunch of jobs. I'll be, you know, getting my day started at 7:30 in the morning and they've got, you know, a trailer full of brush and stuff. And it's like, oh, well, it's flipping business, you know, but then you kind of see them and they're, you know, they talk to them and they're like, yeah, you know, it's, you know, we got to keep business going and struggling to pay the workers and things like that. And I guess maybe just getting ahead of yourself, you know, taking on, you know, having too many employees or too many overhead costs and, you know, where you really got to, you don't have a time to, you know, enjoy those things about owning a business that you get into it for, you know, you end up working yourself to the bone and not having any time for your family, you know, losing those things that are important while you're trying to, you know, make the business happen, which the business is important, but you know, what I feel like the, you know, self-employed business is kind of being able to support the life you want to live more than anything. It's, you know, you're supporting the business, but the business is really supporting you. It should be, you know, it should allow you that time with your family
and, yeah,
you know, have those opportunities to, you know, create memories and things like that, not just always kind of be in the hole. And now the people you're working for kind of become your bosses. You know, I've had, you know, certain people I've taken subcontracts for and it's taken a while for them to pay. And, you know, I'm never the type of guy to, you know, be hassling people to pay or anything like that, but it'll be, you know, over a month and a half. And, you know, they'll be like, well, you know, these people aren't paying me and you know, I do jobs for people and, you know, they don't want to pay me what I told them. And so it just gets frustrating. And I'm like, well, you're kind of doing the same thing to me right now, you know, you know, that's like kind of exactly what the situation I'm in right now. And so, you know, what I try to do is that's why I'm not trying to move too fast or take on, you know, more jobs than I should or promise people things I can't deliver on. You know, I just kind of want to build it organically. And maybe that could be one thing that other businesses do is kind of jump into saying yes to everything and want to grow the business so fast and, you know, go finance the new equipment or new trucks and things like that. When you know, you really don't need all those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Immediately at the end of the day, you might need them one day or you might, you know, get the contract or meet somebody who's like, hey, you know, maybe you'll be perfect for this and you know you need equipment but it'll pay off, you know, and then it's like, okay, well I got a reason to go out and make these expenses. But you know, it's not cool 2 years later. I'd hate to be, you know, looking in my garage at all my equipment and being like, well, I wish I had some customers to go, you know, do this for, or being completely sick of it, you know, just waking up every day and being, oh god, you know, more grass on my clothes or whatever, you know. I never want to get tired of it, so
yeah
and just avoiding burnout is maybe one of the biggest things.
Yeah absolutely. That's a great observation, great point. If you were to start your lawn care business all over again, is there one thing that you would do differently?
Probably a lot of things, to tell you the truth. I mean, that's trial and error for a lot of my business, but I'd say one big thing would be getting solid equipment. I remember when I first started, like I said, doing like my grandma's yards and things like that, and just the first couple, I got in a riding mower and stuff, but as far as like weed eaters and blowers, I was still using my home equipment, you know, a Ryobi string trimmer and my 27cc Craftsman blower, you know, small handheld blower. And they're quality equipment and nothing wrong with them at all. But it's just, you know, on the commercial level, doing yards one after another, I was sweating and, you know, not getting the performance that I really wanted to get. And I'd be doing 2-3 yards in a day and being completely gassed and like tired. And I'd be like, dude, how do people do this? How do you do this for a living? You know, how do you make this happen? Like, yeah, it didn't make sense. But then I was, you know, invested in the Echo blower. And, you know, once I got the, or not the Echo, but the Echo SRM225 trimmer and that Husqvarna BT150, and, you know, immediately I just saw the instant results of having that quality equipment that I wasn't seeing before. So definitely, for sure, just investing. You don't got to invest and go buy all the tools and equipment, you know, just overload your garage. You know, buying a nice set of, you know, equipment that you're going to use that's the commercial quality, that has a parts dealer close to you for when things go wrong, you can go pick up parts or order parts from them and get it, you know, the same day or within a day or two. That's a big one too, is getting equipment that's locally available, you know, for spare parts. Like I would love to have, you know, an Exmark mower that I saw one for the first time in person the other day at a flea market. And I kid you not, I was with my father-in-law and my wife, and they were literally like, okay, dude, you can get over this mower. Like, it's not that cool. And I was like, no, like, this is the Exmark. Like, I've never seen this brand in person. It's like, I want everything to do with it. You know, I sat on it. I checked out all the specs. I asked the guy about it, and it was a used model. He said it had 1,000 hours on it, which I assume that's not too much for an Exmark. But it was about half price of the retail he was selling it for. I obviously didn't pull the trigger on it. I wasn't ready for any of that, but I mean, it was just cool to see that in person. But like in my area, there's a Toro dealer close by. There's a Husqvarna and Echo dealer also about 30 minutes out for me. So I found, that, you know, when I look for new equipment, trying to find things in those brands that are going to be available for me, you know, if I need new tires or, you know, new, just different parts here and there, you never know what you're going to need, blades and everything like that. It's just so much easier to have, you know, things locally available for when things go wrong.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that reminds me a lot of when I started my lawn care business. I started out when I went full-time, it was through a franchise. And because I bought a franchise, it came with an equipment package, a brand new equipment package. And I say one of the biggest lessons I learned from that franchise was the value of commercial equipment, because I was forced, quote unquote, to use commercial equipment because that's what came with my package. And if I hadn't bought the franchise, I probably would have started out with like homeowner equipment and stuff like that. And would have experienced those frustrations, but I immediately saw the value in that commercial equipment when I started using it, going, wow, this stuff, like, it just keeps going. It, like, never breaks down. It's just, like, always, you know, yard after yard after yard. Like, the stuff is awesome. And I learned that quickly. And it reminds me of, like, you know, you look at any sort of profession, any sort of thing, like, or any, you know, thing in general, like think of like a NASCAR race driver or something like that, and go, like, do they go and get their tires like at the cheapest place for that car? No, they're using like the commercial version of that, like the race specific tire, right? Because it makes a difference in what they're doing. Does an Olympic skier go to their local like Dick's Sporting Goods and get their skis off the rack there? No, they've got like, you know, stuff that's purposely built for what they're doing, because it's what their living is. It's how they're going to get results, is using the proper tool for the for that particular job. So yeah, it's interesting that. And like you said, you know, you don't want to get burdened with the you know, debt, and you know, going to your garage and looking at a bunch of stuff and going, you know, I wish I had customers to go with it, as you said. But it's very easy to remember that buying stuff is very simple to do. It can take you 15 minutes to go buy a brand new mower. So, you know, make sure you have those clients first to support that. But once you do, then don't hesitate to then invest in that proper equipment, because it'll pay the dividends back in just the reliability and parts availability. If it does go down, being able to go to the dealer and get something quick versus, you know, having to wait maybe weeks for a part for like a residential mower or something like that. What would you say is your biggest frustration about running a lawn care business?
Probably the constant maintenance, you know, every week on, you know, and something's going to go wrong. You know, you're going to, your push mower won't be starting right, or, you know, it'll be running at half speed, or you'll notice your mows aren't coming out as crisp. So it's like, I got to take the blades off and, you know, sharpen them, or time for new blades. And just, I don't call it super frustrating, but I guess it is, you know, it could become cumbersome and just, you know, a little, I guess, yeah, frustrating, you know, having to keep making trips to the store and need, you know, this new piece of equipment, or having to diagnose a problem and fix it so you can, you know, get going for the week and things like that. So maybe just the constant maintenance, you know, can repairs, things like that, that you got to keep up with the equipment, but also keeps you on your toes. So, yeah. You know, they're kind of good problems.
Yeah. So we're down to the last two questions here. This next one, I want you to share your best piece of advice with those just starting out in the business. I want you to come out this from the point of view that the person asking you this is somebody that you know and that you like and that you would only want to see the best for. You want to see them succeed. So if somebody like that came up to you and said, Jonathan, I'm thinking about starting a lawn care business. What's your best piece of advice for me? What would you say?
I'd definitely say, just you got to love it. You know, find out what you like to do, what aspect of it you really love. And just dial in on it, you know, and take care of stuff. Be efficient, you know, try to be the most efficient you can. Don't waste energy that you don't need to. You know, always have your equipment set in its proper spot and have your gas filled at the beginning of the week. You know, don't be that guy who's halfway through a yard and runs out of gas and has to run down to the convenience store with the yard looking halfway done. And don't be that guy who, you know, says yes a job who he can't come through for, you know, something way too big for him, and he tells the customer, oh yeah, I'll do that, and then you know, they never hear from him again.
Yeah.
Because when I first started, you know, I'm guilty of that. At least once or twice, you know, my first couple months, or you know, I go out and give a price and they'd be like, well, cool, you know, and I'll be like, yeah, well, I can, you know, come out and do it a few days. And I get home and I'm like, dude, why did I take that job? You know, I'm gonna go do this for what, for peanuts, you know, like, why did I even, like, what are you doing? So it's, you know, not giving real quotes. That's something that I actually learned from listening to your podcast, is when you said that you never give quotes in person. You always email them after the fact. And I took a step back and said, hey, that's, immediately I was like, well, that's really something that could help my business. Is because, you know, you, from on both ends, sometimes you charge something and it's, you know, maybe a little too, not too high, but, you know, higher than it could have been. And the customer's like, well, you know, what the heck? And then the other way around, sometimes you know, you want to be a nice person and you charge a price that you think you can do it for, but then you always forget something. You know, you get home and you'd be like, oh, this is going to take an extra hour here. And well, I didn't think about having to dump all that stuff after and, you know, rake up all the mess that it's going to make. And so a lot of things go into it. So you really got to get home and take some time, not be in a rush to give the price, you know, just kind of take things a step at a time and not rush it. Be prepared, be efficient, you know, have a good time doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a great point. Just as long as you're providing that quote efficiently, like in terms of, like, don't take a week to give them the quote, get them the quote that same day, in the evening or whatever the case may be. But yeah, take your time to think about it. I always take photos too of the property so that I can look at the photos when I'm then thinking about the quote, and can then compare it to other properties that I'm, you know, doing similarly in that neighborhood and that sort of stuff, and come up with a more solid quote. Then you feel pressure when you're sitting there with the client standing there asking you how much it is and stuff, and you're just trying to, you know, you just don't have the time there to really process all the different aspects of the job. So yeah, that's a great point there. So the last question for you is a super easy one, and that is, how can people follow you online?
My Facebook page, for one. It should be linked in the show notes. Hopefully. It's facebook.com/ PTI John's Lawns. You can follow me there. I post content. I try to keep it updated, you know, at least once a week, once every 2 weeks, I'll post something, little videos, advertisements, things like that. And we're, like I said, I'm 2 years in. I really love this, so I'm just getting started. I do have an Instagram page, but I'm not really into that stuff, Julio, social media and things like that. I mean, I do. I get on Twitter and I get on Facebook and stuff, but the media part and make this new real thing that's taken over and stuff like that. I really try not to get too sucked into that part of it and, you know, being on my phone just making content all day, because I love doing it. But, you know, even when I just make my little simple stuff, it's like you end up taking 4 or 5 hours and you're like trying to perfect every little detail of what you're putting out, and it's like, man, like, I, you know, I could be doing other stuff during the time. So I haven't gotten too far into the whole online content creation and things like that. Yeah, I got a lot of different hats to wear right now as far as doing the finances and keeping up with quotes and clients at the job and things. But my Facebook page, for sure, I keep that updated, and I'd love for y'all to join it just to, you know, see the things I post. wherever y'all are. And just to find out more about y'all, I'd love to follow your pages too. So let's create this great community of landscapers and lawn care providers and keep providing for our clients what they deserve.
Yeah, that's awesome. I was laughing there because as you were saying that about taking time and getting sucked in and, you know, taking more time than you need to do a post and stuff like that. I was on the weekend parked in the car. Me and my wife were waiting for, I don't remember exactly what we were doing, but we were both in the car waiting. And I was scrolling through Instagram, or at least she thought I was scrolling through Instagram. And she looks over and she noticed the caption on a post. And she's like, who the heck writes like posts, like captions that long on Instagram? And I looked at her and I said, me? It was my post, right? Because I write long, detailed captions about what the issue or a situation or whatever to set up the photo and stuff. And she's like, really? I'm like, yeah, that's why it takes me so long to do a post, right? It's because I'm always... but it's funny.
Yeah, I'm the type of guy, like, I'll post my stuff on Facebook, and then if you go back and look at my edit history, it's been edited like 15 times. And I'm like, oh, this sentence could have been said more concise, or like picture, you know, looks a lot better if the pictures are in this order and stuff like that. And I was like, you know, I'm guilty of it. I get way too sucked into it. So I kind of try to be conscious of it and not let it overtake my life. Cause in 2023, it's crazy. But I love the tools we have, the online tools. That's helped me grow my business. You know, if we didn't have these different social media apps and things like that, a lot of us knew lawn care providers. We didn't know the old flyer days and things like that, how y'all started off. So we're definitely at a little bit of an advantage that way.
Absolutely.
So I can't hate on apps and social media. Just try not to do too much of it.
Awesome. So thank you so much for taking the time out of your day. Like literally, I think you're only one of maybe two guests in the history of the podcast that has literally done the interview while they're working, like in the truck. So that's dedication for you to do it there on your lunch break. Absolutely enjoyed our conversation. Thank you so much for taking the time to come onto the show.
Thank you, Julio. Thanks for having me, and keep it up, man. Keep doing what you're doing. Love it.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So there you have it, Lawn Care Nation. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that value-packed interview with Jonathan Delgado from John's Lawns. As he said, I'll put a link in the podcast show notes to his Facebook page. Make sure you guys head on over there and give him a like and follow his page there for more of his lawn care business journey. So that's it for this one, guys. Here's to wishing you guys all overwhelming success and freedom in your lawn care business. Bye for now.